Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albertson.
And this week, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 8. I can't believe how fast this is going. Sean 2.0 with a super amazing, wonderful, exciting surprise guest from the episode. You may know him as Declan's live-in singer, or you may know him as the lead singer of the band Tears for Fears. That's right. This week, we are speaking to the legend himself, Mr. Kurt Smith. I know we say this after every single episode with an amazing guest, but I think this one might be one of my favorites ever. I'm saying that because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I love this episode so much.
After arriving in Toronto at 4 a.m. this morning, it was like,
But oh my gosh. Really? This morning?
Yeah.
4 a.m.?
Being a rock star last night.
So, Kurt, I have to tell you this. I did this interview today. I told her that we were having, we were doing a podcast today and that Kurt Smith was on. And she's like, oh, I just saw his concert. She interviewed you for Vulture, I guess, a while ago, but she just saw your concert at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it went well, I'm told. Everyone seemed to love it.
Huge.
I had the hugest guest list known to man because, of course, both Diva and Wilder, the kids, are both living there in New York. So I think Diva's list was 30 people. We had 80 guests. It was ridiculous.
You had 80 guests?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And all our friends. It was fascinating because all our friends, you know, because we lived in New York. Me and Francis met in New York and we lived there for 10 years. And a lot of our friends who we knew in New York still live there. But it was all of us who were friends in our 20s in New York with all of our kids.
Oh.
Because all of their kids were there too.
How special.
And what a triumphant return playing Madison Square Gardens.
When she said that, I was like, oh, this is magic.
Yeah, we never played Madison Square Garden in all these years. We played Radio City for 5 nights. We played in New Jersey at Meadowlands, in Queens at the big tennis stadium at Jones Beach, but never Madison Square Garden.
Well, that's off the bucket list.
I actually can't believe that, but I also...
I know.
That makes it even that much more magical.
Yeah.
It was
a good night.
I'm so glad. Toronto's the next stop?
Yeah. We play tomorrow night in Toronto, which will be a big show, big outdoor show. And yeah, we're in Canada for a few days.
Okay, cool. And then we make
our way to the West Coast, and I will eventually be playing in Vancouver, where we all met. I'm sure. Then Seattle, Vancouver, 24th of July.
Interesting. That's very close to Mr. Tim Amundsen's birthday.
And then we should be just a couple of weeks before Ms. Margaret Cassidy Lawson's birthday.
Are you coming down the coast?
Yeah, we'll be at the Hollywood Bowl August 2nd.
What?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
I don't know.
Did you know this?
Because you're a fake fan, Meg.
I'm a fake fan.
And I know you're also playing Palm Springs.
Yes, exactly.
I was hesitant to hit you up for bowl tickets because I know you're going to have 100. If 80 in New York was crazy, then L.A. when your thousands of friends in L.A. are all going to want tickets. So Alice and I were thinking of hitting the Palm Springs show instead.
Yeah, I mean, you are welcome to whichever one you want to come to. You know that.
I have to go to the Hollywood Bowl because that first off, it's just the venue, the magic. I gotta. Yeah. I mean, maybe Palm Springs too. I don't know. Maybe both.
It's actually Hollywood Bowl is another venue we've never played.
Oh my God!
It's
such a special space, man.
Yeah, no, I've been to see shows there. It's fantastic, and of course, has the added benefit of being the nearest venue to my house.
Yes, you're beautiful.
Right, Meg, I guess we're going to the bowl show.
We're going to the bowl show. Tim, we're going to the bowl show. And I have a strong feeling a lot of psych fans will also be at that show.
I get the feeling but mind you, psych fans seem to be all over. You
know? They do, but they also know the family affair that seeing Tears for Fears is. So yeah. I have a strong feeling they'll be going to probably multiple shows, actually. But, I can't stop smiling, seeing your face, and we're so happy you're here. So much so that we were like, we can talk about the episode some, but we just want to hang out with you and talk to you and hear all the, I mean, look, we know a lot of how psych happened and came to you, but we wanted to hear all the good details of like, it was like, we're like, let's do Kurt's origin story.
The origin story.
How he got
to. I mean, I've already said how great Kurt looks. I can't skip the beat of saying, Maggie, you look amazing today.
Hey, thank you, Tim. So you do both. You. You know the pineapple.
You both look wonderful.
Thanks. You know the pineapple stern bush is my favorite.
I know. That's what I put it on today.
So that's our merch for our podcast. And when the way it's always framed, it's just this little like sprig of pineapple leaves. And it's exactly his like stern bush. So we like this
stern bush. It's actually green in real life, but only on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, exactly. But Tim, you look fantastic.
Thanks, Maggie. I
right.
Got a little beard.
Did you oil the...
I just for Father's Day. I got some new mustache wax from Lily for Father's Day this year. Oh. So I just popped it in.
Love it.
So I got a little extra time for you.
Thank you.
That's gorgeous. And Kurt Smith, obviously, you always look fantastic. We spend the first few minutes usually of each podcast just talking about how great we all look.
how fabulous we all are.
So just, you know, to soak it in and and you know it's true.
For a man who just had a birthday, and I know what decade you're in, I don't know how you look this gosh darn good, man.
Yeah, I'm an old man. I'm an old man now.
Well, you sure wouldn't know what to look at you.
No.
Well, now I have to wear glasses to see you, you know, because we're in small boxes. So.
I have to wear glasses to see you all, too.
Yeah, it's the only difference, really. I mean, when I'm reading or anything small.
Mm-hmm. I'm a this person. I'm like the menu person now in the restaurant. So, like, a lot of
squint.
Yeah. Oh,
one of these.
I hate it.
Yeah. With the iPhone light.
Oh, I won't do it. I won't do it. So half the time I just don't know what I'm ordering. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too embarrassed to turn on the cell phone light. And I'm too embarrassed also to pull this move. And a lot of times I'm too embarrassed to grab the candle or the light to, you know, just bring it closer. I just won't do it. I'll be like, I'll have that. And then it's a surprise.
Because I'm in the hotel room and I have my glasses because I read, obviously. But when I go out, I don't take them with me because I just don't think about it.
Right.
So last week in New York, we went to dinner with the kids and I just had Diva read me the menu. I was like, you tell me what's on there. Because we were at the...
Here's the move I've started using. Because I now have to carry two sets of glasses with me because I got my distance and like walking glasses and my reading glasses. So I will now, if I know where I'm going, I'll check out the menu online. So I'll read the menu online.
Oh, that's good.
With glasses, so I'm not constantly going.
They did actually tell me that as well, because I flew into New York for Father's Day. So I spent Father's Day with my kid, which was wonderful, before the first shows happened. And they said, just look at it online because you can zoom in on it. You know, and just get your phone out and look at the menu online. See, there's another thing you can do.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I prep my dinner by looking at home for the menu.
Yeah.
It's very fun because I have to ask questions anyway because I can't have gluten. So I think a lot of times it's also just like, it's easier for me to just point to something and be like, is this gluten free? And they're like, oh, the chicken. And I'm like, oh, that's the chicken.
Diva is also gluten free. So she... And it's not that she can't have it. It's a choice with her. Yeah. But you can do what she does, which is, what are your gluten-free options?
Oh! And
then they will read them out to you.
And I don't even have to look at the menu.
No.
Oh, my God. My head just exploded a little bit. Huh?
We're solving so many menu problems. So we've got the check out the menu online before you go and just simply ask the question, what are your gluten-free, let it be read to you.
Yeah. Oh my God, this is a game changer. Thank you so much already. Thank you, Wilder. Wait, Wilder. Or was it Diva?
It was Diva. Diva.
This is really good news.
Which of your daughters just graduated college?
Diva just graduated NYU. Yeah.
Congratulations.
So we were back for that. We were there for the big Yankee Stadium graduation and the Tisch one at Radio City. And then Wilder has one more year. She's in Ohio. Which is a bit more difficult to get to, I gotta say. Kenyon College. It's a little liberal arts college. It's like about an hour outside of Columbus, Ohio. Oh, Columbus. Fantastic college. Amazing college.
Yeah. I know just from growing up in Kentucky.
So yeah. Crazy. So it's, yeah, Kentucky's not that far away. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Alice is an Akron, Ohio girl, so we know it well.
Yeah. But yeah. She loves it. She loves it there. I mean, we were looking for a great small college that had a wonderful art department because she's an artist. But there was also academic and also academically good. And Kenyon was the 34th out of 35 colleges I taught.
I remember that too.
Oh my God, how funny. But it was on the list.
Actually, it wasn't on the list. That's the weirdest thing. What was on the list was Oberlin and, Ohio. And Oberlin, and we thought, well, while we're in Oberlin, we may as well go to Kenyon. Because it's, an hour and a half drive away. And so we did, and literally Wilder walked in and went, this is it, you know.
Oh, that's great. Love that. So, well, first we should ask Kurt a very important question. I feel
very important.
Do you want to ask him or do you want me to?
I feel you should ask him.
Should I ask him? Okay. Yeah. Kurt Smith, I can't stop smiling. so happy to have you. Kurt, are you ready to podcast the shit out of it with us?
Oh, I'm so ready to podcast the shit out with you. But then,
after arriving into town at 4 o'clock in the morning, because he's a gosh darn, honest to God, legitimate rock star and was out playing huge arenas all the last couple of us.
I was playing in the unpronounceable places in the north of New York. But actually, I can pronounce it. Canandaigua, I believe it was, all the way upstate New York. So then we had to drive across the border to come into Toronto, which meant we got here at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And he's taking a break to come spend an hour with us talking about how much we love you, Kurt Smith, and the joy that is our letter to Psych.
Well, this is far more of a joy than sitting in a hotel room on my own twiddling my thumbs, that's for sure. Yeah.
But you still need your rest, and we appreciate you working all of this out just to chat with us because this episode, we're actually going to, I think, break it up into two because there's just no, like, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, like the synopsis or whatever, when we have Kurt here to like talk about all of those stories as well. But I did rewatch the episode. It's so random how you show up.
Well, this morning, it was, you're so funny in this, but I'm going to get to that in one second, but Maggie, do you want to begin? Yes. You are. So, it's such a fun. Like it was laugh out loud. There was a lot of laugh out loud for me in this episode.
Same.
Which I mean, all I remember in this episode was I remember Nestor, and then of course I remember you being in it. But then rewatching it again this morning because it's a Psych rewatch podcast, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's what we're making.
Psychologists are in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so. But it was delightful to see you. And Maggie, do you want to? How would you like to go?
Well, okay. I mean, obviously, we were all fans. Obviously, I know Rodé Rodriguez was like on a mission. And so I want to hear kind of like how we got you. How did we get Kurt Smith to come to Psych?
Yeah. Well, James doesn't take no for an answer easily, does he? Right. No, it was actually at the Welton Theater in Los Angeles. And we played a show there. And I don't know how. But he managed to get backstage and into my dressing.
I actually do know that.
Actually, you do know how. It was actually through a friend of yours, right? Wasn't it?
Was it a friend of Allison's?
Our friend Laurel. We have a mutual friend, Laurel.
Laurel.
Called us. It was a great friend of Kurt's and called Allison and said, hey, do you want to go see Kurt's first night? We're like, yes, we do. So we go to the Wiltern show.
I was there.
And I very braggingly, I think text James and or you and said, hey, guess who we're going to go see? Guess who we're seeing tonight? We're seeing Tears for Fears at the Wiltern. And James, when he replied, so are we. And James was like, if for God's sake you get backstage, please tell him about us. So we did get back. We get to the general backstage area. But the dressing rooms of the Wiltern are up this
staircase.
This like huge staircase. It's like this gauntlet to get up to the top floor where the dressing rooms are. And we see, as we're standing back there in this kind of large group of people, we see Arlene, Kurt's manager at the time.
Was Alec.
Whose son, Ben, I believe?
Yeah,
Ben. Yeah.
So Ben was a big fan of Psych. So she, remember Arlene, like sort of pointing to the crowd and just going like, you like a Roman emperor. You. Yeah. She gave us access upstairs to get it. So we got upstairs to the inner chamber, the inner sanctum of the cavernous Wilton Theater.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, yeah, so we're in the room with you and James.
Yeah. And James just accosted me basically and was telling me, you know, you've got to come on the show and telling me all about it. And to be honest, you don't really think about, because there's so many people there. Like my family were there, obviously. I mean, it's LA. So as you were saying, you know, guest lists in LA tend to be kind of huge because I live there. So I'm trying also to talk to other people while he's talking at me, as is his way. Mm-hmm. And
he wouldn't move, I'm sure. I'm sure he did not read the room at all. He was probably not. He was just like, cool, yeah, all these people. Yeah, I'm just going to keep talking until you say yes.
Just back off. Yeah, you can wait your turn. So that was kind of it. And then in the end, of course, you know, whether I said yes just to get rid of him, I'm...
Let me ask you. I mean, I heard that you knew of the show because I think one of them, someone had said you had shout on your web, the shout bit on your website.
Yeah,
is this correct?
Yeah, the bit where James is doing his impersonation of Roland and Dulé is doing Michael Jackson in duets episode.
Oh, wait, that's right.
Yeah, so we already had that, so I knew obviously all about it, which was very amusing, by the way, that episode. And in the end, I think just meeting the sort of minutiae of us, me finally doing it, I have no idea how that came together. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm into doing it. It'll be fun. And so then you get up to, you know, Vancouver, where you're filming. And then suddenly you're around, because the psych people are like, they're like this one big family. It was hilarious. Hence the reason I've been back so many times there. and we're all friends, you know. It's always a joy to do because there's that.
Thanks, Megan. Maggie, did you just hear Kurt Smith just said that we're friends?
We're friends. We're friends. He called us his friends, Tim.
Well, everyone in the cast now is a friend of mine. See, you know, I mean, that's what happens when you're up there with all the nights we spent out. You know, I don't want to get into the karaoke night yet, but we could get into that at some point.
We're getting into that.
I just told a friend of mine that story. Just that, yeah.
It's the best. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you all, but I kind of always have a question about where I'm going in my life. Am I making the right decisions? Am I going in the right direction? Am I not going anywhere? Am I stuck? All those things. And I do think therapy is a good tool in sort of helping us get to know ourselves and kind of set goals on where we want to go and at least try to keep moving in that direction and remove all those things that kind of stop us from doing that, even if they're just like mental. Sometimes in life we're faced with tough decisions and the path forward isn't always clear. I also feel like we get that, like we can be paralyzed by indecision. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. I'm a big believer in this. I believe when you really don't know which direction to go, it is helpful to enlist help. That's what it's there for. And also, it can't hurt, you know? So that's why I would say, like, if you're thinking of starting therapy, like, give BetterHelp a try. You know, you can always change. You can always shift and move. But why not enlist the help if it's there? BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple. Are you tired of your fridge looking like a barren wasteland every time you open it? Well, do we have a sizzling solution for you? Introducing ButcherBox, your new best friend in the world of mouth-watering meats. You're hosting a dinner party and your guests are craving some top-notch melt-in-your-mouth steaks. But wait, your local grocery store is all out of the good stuff. Panic sets in. What are you gonna do? Well, fear not.
ButcherBox has your back. With ButcherBox, you can have high quality, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork delivered right to your doorstep. ButcherBox offers you peace of mind. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. And 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, humanely raised, no antibiotics, no hormones. This is so, so, so very important to me. And I know it is to all of you too. And ButcherBox offers the ultimate convenience, delivered right to your door. It's delivered right to your door. Free shipping and curated to customize box plans. I think my favorite at the moment is this grilled Italian sausage with this herby, I love saying herby, sauerkraut. It's really good. It's so good. It's incredible. And it's very fun for the summertime. And ButcherBox even has helpful recipes online for each meat that they send you. I love this too. It makes me cook more. ButcherBox is giving us a special deal. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/pineapple and use code pineapple to get New York strips for a year plus 20% off your first order. That's butcherbox.com/pineapple and use code pineapple to claim this deal.
So doing the one show, and Nesta was up there, and there were certain things I remember about it. One, there was a painting of supposedly of Nesta above the fireplace, but it just looked like John Stamos to me.
Which is referenced in the show, in the episode.
Yeah, exactly. And because I said to James at the time, I'm like, it just looks like John Stamos to me. and what's funny about the Nesta thing was Wilder, my youngest, became friends with Nesta's son. So they're now friends. And then I was on a plane going, where was I going? Oh, to England recently. And there was a Canadian movie that Nesta was in. And he plays this policeman, federal agent, a Canadian federal agent. It was a true story about a bank robber who robbed like 50 banks or something and got away with it because he was so charming.
But we have to point out Nestor Carbonales, who we're talking about, who in real life is so stupidly charming and dumbly handsome.
The sweetest. Yeah. The sweetest.
But the other thing I said about Nestor, you know, when I met him, I was like, God, he looks like he's got eyeliner on all the time. You know, it just, because his eyes are just so piercing, but it looks like he has eyeliner.
I was literally just about to say, and he looks like he has eyeliner on, but it's not.
But it's not. And he mentions it in this movie.
Shut up.
He does in the movie. And I was like laughing out loud on the plane because he turns around, some guy accosted him in the bathroom and he goes, yes, I know I look like I've got eyeliner. And it was in the movie.
Oh my God. Which is how funny.
Yeah.
I think the line James says in the episode is he's got the darkest eyelashes any man has ever had in the history of the world.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. He's great in the episode.
But so, that started the let's abuse Kurt Smith sort of theme of every episode of Psych I've been in and the movie. I find it amusing. Yes,
we're fun to hang out with, but we can't be that fun to hang out with because we really we put you through it.
We have, it's like we need a ridiculous. Like who could we bring in to do the most ridiculous out of nowhere, random? Oh, Kurt.
I got to ask, for a boy from Bath, have you ever done any acting before? Because God, you're so good in this. You are, your comedy is effortless.
You're like crazy. Have crazy comedic timing.
No, I've never acted before. Or since. It's interesting because what you do is you just watch other people, you know. And what I watched, you, because I've never really been on the set of anyone filming before.
That's insane to me.
Apart from, you know, music videos or, you know, that kind of thing. So I guess there's some acting involved in music video, but not really because you're singing. The one thing I noticed immediately was just be fearless, you know, just don't like think about it. Don't overthink about it. Just blurt the stuff out and don't be embarrassed. And it was kind of like watching all of you acting and having kind of got to know you before watching you being filmed and realizing you just effortlessly do it. You just do it like you're talking in normal everyday life. It's not like you drastically changed your personality, certainly for this anyway, you know. And that's kind of what I tried to learn from and just go, you know, just, I mean, plus it helps I'm playing myself. I mean, yeah. It's not a stretch.
I'm defending yourself there, because just because you're playing yourself, that can also make it even more difficult.
Harder. Almost harder. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Give us a little more credit, because you're, again, your comedic timing is so deadpan perfect. It's, dare I say, it's even Python-esque.
Well, I mean, having been brought up on Monty Python, of course, and the fact that Psych as a show is based on sarcasm, pretty much, which is which is every bit of English humor. So, yeah, sarcasm comes naturally because I'm British, and that's where all our humor comes from. That and the toilet, basically.
You are British and brilliant.
You know, everyone on the show makes you feel so comfortable. So, and I mean that down to the, you know, the directors, the cameraman, all the people, yeah, they all seem to be friends of yours also. It wasn't like there was any separation between the cast and the crew.
Mm.
Everyone was just, you know, just seemed to get on so well. So it wasn't like being filmed by someone strange or being intimidated. I didn't feel intimidated. That would be the key thing.
That's because we were all intimidated. We're like, Christmas here. We were like,
pull up some imitation. We couldn't possibly have the energy to do anything that would be intimidating, because we were just trembling ourselves. And
like we were pinching ourselves that you were there. But it's funny because the episode started too, and I was like, oh, that's right. The credits.
Yeah. Right.
You did. So, yeah. Okay. All right. So we rope you in to coming up to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then somehow also convinced you to do the opening credits and sing some of your songs and even other songs that are made up to like push the story along.
Yes. Yeah, basically. it was like half a song that I wrote.
It was funny.
Can't remember it now. But and then also it was like I'm presuming it was James that probably suggested it, to re-record the theme song. Yeah. In a fashion of 1980s Tears for Fears, basically. So
it's so good.
So I did that. It was actually fun to do. Yeah.
And you just said yes. You were like, yeah, I'm in.
And why not? Yeah.
You're what we would call a tremendous sport.
Yeah. And then we were like, guess what the other requirement is with coming up to Vancouver? You have to party with us. You have to come out with us. You have to play.
Yeah, exactly. which as we know involved a fair amount of drinking, if I seem to remember correctly, and going to karaoke bars.
Most of us don't remember, but I would say that's accurate.
Yeah. And I still tell the story myself, you know, in interviews to this day when, you know, because people have asked in interviews, have you ever done karaoke? And I'm like, funnily enough, once. I mean, this is the only time I've ever done karaoke, by the way.
No.
Yeah. So for people watching this, by the way, I have to tell the story.
You have to.
So we all go out to this karaoke bar, and the biggest, you know, karaoke whore in the world is Tim Omundson. I mean, let's face it.
Accurate.
And he was up there, you know, as the crooner that he is, was wonderful. So and good. Then, you know, then I'm getting egged on to go and, you know, do karaoke. And I'm like, well, it would be funny if I just went and did karaoke to one of my own songs. And so we picked Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and I went and did karaoke to Everybody Wants to Rule the World to this. You know, there was other people there. And I don't know whether you remember, but not one of them paid a blind bit of attention.
None
of them.
What do you remember?
There was an older Asian man in the very front, like sitting in a chair in the very front, just looking up at you, just in complete perplexity, because we were all behind you singing background and
yeah,
just enjoying and laughing our heads off. And he was just very confused, like, why are these people doing this? Who are
And we were losing our minds. We're like, we're on stage with Kurt Smith right now, saying Everybody Wants to Rule the World. The people in that place must have thought we, like, I can't imagine. They had to pick up on something like I don't know, but I'm with
no, no you. One,
no
did,
one knew, no one, no one no. knew. It was no, such it was. A moment.
Well, because I think they're all wrapped up in what they were going to be singing and what they were going to be doing, you know. And so it was just funny to go and do that, and not a soul in there knew who I was.
So
or cared.
No one has this on video.
No, I don't think anyone videoed it. I mean, we have the video of the rap party, you know,
yeah.
at the end when I went yeah. and sang. Everyone sang, but I don't think anyone had the karaoke.
I feel like there's a photograph of it somewhere.
There might be a photo. I don't yeah. know.
I kind of love it. I kind of love that it just yeah. exists as this incredible.
No, it exists. We're the ones that experienced it. No one
the
else.
The memory.
Gets
it. Which right.
yeah. this would have been like the first of three or four times we've all sung with Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was down in L.A.
Yeah. The where?
McCabe's.
Yeah, McCabe's, that sort of a famous West L.A. guitar shop and small stage venue.
Did I come to that?
I don't think you were there. No, I think it was Kirsten, it was Tim, and it was James. I think.
Yeah,
I don't think you were in town. I don't think you were in town.
But I remember the others for sure. Oh, I hate that I missed it. So, when you come to the Hollywood Bowl, just let us know.
If you need backing singing.
Yeah, just give us the countdown or like the signal from the stage okay. when you're like, okay, guys, it's time. You know, it's time well, for you
I,
now.
I'm it's going to take me a while to get up on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you plenty of notice.
Yeah, do you mind pushing my wheelchair?
Yeah, we got you. It's fine. Kurt, he'll just let us know like the set list and like, you know, when we're required.
Kurt's so horrified he said yes, King of the Bowl.
I'm sorry. I don't hope I'm not causing any anxiety. I really aren't gonna ambush you. Yes, we are.
Yeah. We're not yes, we are.
Okay, so and then how many
even if I see you in the audience, it's going to put me off, I think, because I won't be able to stop laughing probably, but
I'm going to hold up signs like big obnoxious signs, psych related signs like pineapple, and you'll be like, oh man, I knew they were going to do something.
They're going to be here somewhere.
They got to be here somewhere.
If that we realize why we're in the very back row of the bowl, we're like, oh, right.
Yes, I do get to pick where you get seats.
We're like, wow, we can't believe we got the pool circle. This is great. And then we get up there and they're like, weird. Yeah, your tickets were transferred to, you know, out of state. You're not even welcome here.
You're in the Hollywood Hills behind the bowl.
Yeah. You can just go home and listen from your house.
Exactly.
Oh, this is too fun. I've like literally I cannot wait to see you and cannot wait to see you in person.
The amount that we all love you, Kurt. So when I got to see you in San Diego, I think a year ago and recorded many of our favorites and then immediately got home to my hotel and sent all those clips of video to on our psych family thread. And everyone was very delighted.
Do you remember Tim, did you come to the Vegas show? We did what's it, Henderson? Do you remember the Henderson show?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
God, that was fun. It was like
I have pictures of us afterwards.
No, I didn't make that show.
We rented a limo. I remember because there were so many of us, and we got in the limo and drove out to Henderson to see the thing. Oh my God, it was so fun.
So I didn't get to go to McCabe's. I didn't get to go to Vegas. So we're even. Yeah.
We're all gonna, but we're all gonna go to the Hollywood Bowl,
whether Kurt likes it or not.
You don't have to tell me, because you know the person who deals with the guest list is not me, right? Francis is the person everyone has to talk to.
I can charm Francis. I got Francis.
Oh, you got, you can.
I got Francis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who I saw last year, actually.
Yeah. At that level party when I saw you afterwards.
Yes, you came up the hill.
I was the chauffeur.
Yes,
I was picking her up.
And that was like a not easy place to, it was like, I remember, wasn't there like a weird, I don't know. I like the Ubers couldn't find it or something. And for just a second, you walked?
No, I drove. I went to pick, even though it was near my house, I drove to pick her up.
Somebody was offering to take us. Why did I think it was you? Because we weren't getting a signal or something to get our Uber. Oh no, I think we did. I think Francis walked back up with us to help us get a signal from the house anyway. But yeah, I got to see her last year. So, okay, here's the deal. I'll call Francis.
Exactly.
We'll get everything handled and we'll keep it from you so that you don't even know where we are. So you have no anxiety on the night of the show.
Are you ready to elevate your nail game to new heights? Well, look no further than Olive & June, the ultimate destination for all your nail care needs. Get ready to immerse yourself in a world of exquisite colors, luxurious treatments, and effortless style. Nail the perfect manicure with Olive & June. Whether you're seeking a bold statement or a subtle sophistication, Olive & June has the perfect shade to match your personality and mood. Olive & June offers a range of high-quality, nourishing nail products that promote strong, beautiful nails. From cuticle serums to hydrating treatments, our expertly formulated products will leave your nails looking and feeling their best. Olive & June has everything you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. You can customize it with your choice of six polishes that they don't chip, and they last for 7 days or more. That means your manicure box breaks down to just $2 a manicure. Did you hear that? Also, you all know I am a sucker for cute packaging. Their little packaging, the little boxes they come in, it's the cutest little thing. It just kind of makes you want to use it even more. And it comes with their award-winning cuticle serum, an acetone-free remover pot, which works really, really, really well. What I love about Olive & June is their amazing color options. I could spend hours looking at the color options at their site. I love, 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 love them. Elevate your nail care routine to a whole new level of elegance and style. Visit oliveandjune.com/pineapple for 20% off your first mani system. That's Olive, OliveAndJune, oliveandjune.com/pineapple. PINEAPPLE for 20% off your first mani system. And I just want to say, I'm a real customer of theirs. I discovered them during the pandemic. I wasn't getting my nails done. And so I was looking for like at home, you know, nail kits. And I'm still in love. Like I'm still in love. And I'm so happy now they're a part of this. They're a part of sponsoring the podcast. It's wonderful.
So we roped you into coming up to Vancouver. We got you to sing the theme song, and how was this pitched to you? How was it pitched to you? Like, you're going to come up and sing a couple of songs?
Well, the whole thing is I'm effectively being paid an inordinate amount of money, really, to be held captive by the billionaire who was, you know, played by Nesta Carbonell. So I'm just there playing whatever he tells me to play because he's paying me so much money.
But then Clue, and then
Nightmare on
Street Street, I believe.
Yeah.
Who was zombie after 17 hours of makeup.
Well, so the first one was I was held captive effectively, you know, even though I was being paid a lot of money. The second one was Clue. Was the Clue the second one? I think it was. Where I got shot and mauled by a panther. Oh, yes. <That's right. laughs> So at the end of it, you don't know whether I'm dead or not because the ambulance takes me off, I think, is the last shot.
Yes.
And then, you know, as if being shot and mauled by a panther is not bad enough, then you turn me into a zombie.
And then we bring you back yet again.
To be a zombie.
To be a zombie, but we also brought you back.
Oh, yes.
For the festivities in Psych 3.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
just, like, what is the next version of this going to look like?
Who knows? You know, the powers that be, when they green light the next Psych movie. I'm sure I will be told how you will embarrass me next time.
Yay. Oh, I can't wait. Because we got to top, every time has to top the last.
Yeah. As you're reading the script, you're like, James, this scene where I'm disemboweled.
Exactly. I mean, bad enough getting me to be George Michael effectively in the video of the last movie.
Oh my God. I completely even forgot about that too. This is crazy. Oh my God.
That was like three.
Yeah. That was the last one. Yeah. Oh my God. We've just done. And that song too. Oh my God. What are we going to do with you?
Yeah. And James was there on like remote, you know, cause I did it in LA cause it was all COVID at that point in time. So I had to do it remotely from LA. And he was, you know, no, you've got to like make love to the rope. You've got to do that George Michael thing. Really? Do I though?
Yes. And also, I think there's just a little bit knowing that you'll, because here's the thing, if you weren't so brilliant and so good at it, like honestly, if you didn't pull it off always, like we wouldn't keep asking you to do it. Like you're, it's crazy. I mean, Tim's right. Like you have this kind of like, you have a knack for comedy and also just being pushed into the weirdest things and somehow making them believable and as over the top as they are, just like absolutely funny and not like, like real. Like, I don't know how you, it's a, it's,
well,
a
I mean, like I say, the only skill involved is to not be embarrassed by it. You know,
right.
I mean, if I'd stopped to think about it for a second, I'd be like, you know, I mean, when James told me the idea of this sort of wham pastiche and the hum and all, I was like, really, really? Although I think the pronunciation of it was my idea, actually. I contributed that one idea.
Oh my God. That's so good.
And then for the video, you just, I don't know, be as ridiculous as you can, I guess. I mean, I think that is, you know, if you watch Psych, it really is a lesson in just be as ridiculous as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of it.
Yeah. It's true.
And imagine, I'm struck by, Kurt said, echoed something that the great Carl Weathers just said in the couple episodes ago, which was about getting to set and just observing and watching what the other people are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I see that they're completely comfortable making fools of themselves. So why should I feel bad about it myself?
Jackass.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm the only one making a fool of myself.
Definitely not. You're like, oh, in fact, they might make me look really good. Even if I am making a fool of myself, no one's going to.
In half a day, he's ordering his own Berman's nuts.
Oh, I love that we always bring it back to Berman's nuts.
How can you not?
I don't know. We can't not.
Berman's nuts are very important.
They're very important.
Satisfying beyond all reason.
Here we go.
And they're off and running.
It's a perfectly balanced, snack between salt and sweet.
It has a yin and yang quality, if I may say.
Oh, that's a whole other level you just brought. That is a whole other level to Berman's nuts. Yeah, I think you might know them better than anyone. So yeah, I would say.
we need to touch on the one of the greatest moments, if I dare speak for you. I think again, greatest moments of our life was the rap party and getting to sing with Kurt on stage.
Yeah, the rap party was fun.
It was magic. There's like fun, and then there was like every, to think of like how Psych could go out, like we couldn't have scripted it any, we couldn't have even have written that, like come up with that. Like it just was so beautiful, and you brought it all together.
And that was the last time. That was the last time I've been by.
Full of emotion for all of us at being at that party, and literally I was crying during my song. But then to have that paired with the joy that we all experienced, thanks to Kurt.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and the Psych band.
And the Psych band. Yeah, everybody. I mean, that's what I mean.
We forgot about Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
Yes. So did I.
Oh
my God.
You are part of the family.
More and more and more. Like
But then I was asked about Comic-Con because I didn't know what Comic-Con was. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'd heard of it. And I'm like, well, this is, and I, you know, obviously all I've seen are kind of like sci-fi things. That's what I think it is. And so, you know, they told me it's, you know, announcing the new series of Psych, and you go and sing Shout and have, you know, Dulé and James come on and sing with you. And I figured I'm going to be there in front of 50 people. It was packed. The place was packed. It was huge.
Yeah. Sorry to have misled you that it was.
That's just me with an acoustic guitar. You know?
Yeah, it was really.
I had a dinner with Harleen in Vegas a year ago or so, and she told the story of roping you into Comic-Con? And I think the taping off the stage in an area, and you're like, why is the stage so big?
Yeah, I know. I was like, why is everything so big? I thought we were going to be in sort of a smaller room somewhere or something, and it'd be more like a press conference.
Oops.
as opposed to an actual concert hall.
Oh my God.
This was the largest room they have at Comic-Con for us.
And filled.
Yeah.
I just told that story. We didn't know. We were in our little bubble up in Vancouver and didn't know, you know, how our show, we knew we were getting another season and it was doing all right, but we didn't know like the fan base or anything yet. And social media wasn't what it is now. And so when we got asked the first time to come to Comic-Con, I think you came to maybe the second, time we went, or third. Yeah.
It was our second.
It was our second, because we didn't get asked for a few years. So I think we were in season three even when we went the first time, or four. And we were the same. We were like, they were like, oh, you're going to be in ballroom something, which is like their big, big ballroom. And I remember all of us kind of being like, is this going to be embarrassing that like we're in this?
It's a 5,000 seater.
It's a 5,000 seat room. And we're like, well, do they, like, we were prepared for, you know, a good solid group, but nothing like that. So we were like, let's just, you know, don't get our hopes up. I remember being backstage before we went up on to our panel and hearing the crowd. And I think they said it was sold out or standing room only or something. And that was the very first time that we had any kind of intel into the psych
family. The cult following.
Yeah. And it was a game changer for us, because I remember being like, I don't know, it just maybe felt like we had a connect. You feel when you get to have that kind of interaction, it's like a connection. And then suddenly you have like a little bit of a like responsibility, like you want to deliver and you want to, you know, it was like, wow, we have an actual real dedicated and awesome fan base. Like, so it was very, motivating, I think, going forward to like really deliver. And then each Comic-Con after that had to be topped by the last. I was like, just like getting
our Sally Field at the Oscars. You like us. You like me. You really like
me. You really like me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We had, yes, as you were saying, we had to top it from there.
Yeah.
Right.
The possibility of then get like the rock star and our dear psych family member, Kurt Smith. Please, 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 Kurt, please come play open for us.
And you did.
I did, yeah. You and did. It was fine. It was fun.
You just always say yes. It's the best. We have fan questions for you. If you are you up for some fan questions?
Of course.
Okay, ready. Oh, this has to be true. There have to be. Were there any Kurt outtakes? Do we have psych out? Did you do a psych out? You had to have. We had to have roped you.
There must have been. No, there was. Oh, there was. I think there were outtakes of the sort of me pretending to be drunk at the end of the first one I was in. I think there were outtakes of that when I was getting
to be drunk.
You know, having to sing it. Wasn't it a wedding or what? I think.
Yes. Yeah. At the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, homie doesn't do weddings, but I was forced to at that point in time.
We got to find that, Tim. We should go on a search. And if we don't find it, the psychos will find it. So psychos, we need to find these outtakes. I know you all can find them. You have your ways. So
Sean 2.0.
Sean 2.0. Yeah. What was it like singing the theme song?
Oh, that was kind of easy. That was fun.
Did you go to a studio? Sure. Or you have your own studio? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a studio to do it. It was good. I mean, because I'm kind of doing a pastiche of myself effectively from 20 years ago, it was sort of fun to, because I knew the instruments we used and everything else. So it wasn't particularly hard to do it, and was quite fun to kind of go back and record in that fashion.
And I must say, one of the few times that I didn't click the button of skip the intro. Because normally it's like, I know it so well. So this time I was like, wait a second, that's Kurt. I'm listening to this. I gotta sit and savor this all in.
And the end as well. I actually listened to the opening twice.
Yeah.
I was like, this is really cool. Kurt, would you be in a psych musical?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I might be outshone by your fellow presenter here, Mr. Robinson, because you know he is the epitome of the musicale.
Can I tell you something that you'll love? So we've done a couple of live podcasts now, and at the last one we did, it was in Detroit. Right before we went out, Tim was like, we were doing Psych the Musical, like a special thing for the live show, and Tim was like, I think I might sing again. He hadn't sang, like, he hasn't since, you know,
since karaoke,
since the thing that happened to my brain that was in all the papers.
Oh, it was in all the papers.
Yeah, didn't you get the newsletter?
No, I didn't get the newsletter. Oh, right. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Maggie had a stroke 6 years ago.
What?
No, I totally did.
Oh, I would never know.
Worst thing was I was on tour at the time.
But still managed to come and visit me in the hospital when you got back.
Yeah. On my break. I came in and I had a couple of days off, actually, I think it was.
Oh, God.
But I'd spoken to Allison while I was away on tour.
Yeah. Well, you should know that Tim... on his own. Like, we didn't rehearse. We didn't talk about this. We didn't discuss it. Nothing. He was like, I think I can sing the opening from the musical. And then there was like a moment where he was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not. And it was like, no.
You are.
Oh, you are. And he did. And it was so good.
And did I also happen to have a bourbon with me on stage?
Yes. I mean, a little. Liquid courage never hurt anybody. But from the second you had the spark of the idea, it was like there was no way anyone was letting you walk off that stage and not sing again. And so anyway, now he's... And Tim, like, it was such a magical moment. Anyway, we got to get you on stage all the time.
It inspired me to get my chops back.
Yeah. So the good news is you have a little time before August 2nd to really get your voice right for the Tears for Fear show. So let's
go. It'll be background. I can really pull off the mic and just
We'll rehearse. It's all good. I'll come over and we'll anyway. So I had to share that with you, Kirk, because it was a really magical moment, and I really appreciate it. And he was absolutely incredible. And
you're the first of many.
Okay, what character from the show? This is your last question. What character from the show do you relate to the most?
Relate to?
Funny.
Well, the one I relate to the most clearly is me, but...
I think that's obvious, right? Because you play yourself.
I mean, I play myself in the show, you know.
Perfect.
But, yeah.
I love this answer.
Because I can't really relate to Steve, you know, Steve Valentine, when his rock star, because I'm not really, you know, I'm not that.
I forgot about that. In clue, right. No, yeah. So I think we have our answer, right? Kurt Smith mostly relates to Kurt Smith.
To Kurt Smith, exactly.
Got it. Very meta. We got it. Okay, good.
Psycho. Kurt Smith will be playing the part of Kurt Smith.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, no understudies tonight, kids. Yeah. Anything else you want to share or whatever? I mean, we'll talk to you all day, but I also...
Actually, I think that I remember it was funny. I think I took a picture of it. I bet you still have it. Because don't the scripts, they have your name on and your character's name. and mine actually had that. And when I was just hilarious, I sent a picture to my wife. It said Kurt Smith, part Kurt Smith.
I like that we took the time to do that, you know, in the list of characters.
It's like, so if this was back to do when they were doing break times, would have been looking for a Kurt Smith type.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking for a Kurt Smith type, right? That's good. That's good stuff.
I had the pain of going through that makeup for the zombie episode, The Nightmare on State Street, because that was like 2 and a half hours in LA. I had to have that mold made. And then it took, I think it was like an hour to put it on when I got to Vancouver.
Right.
Because you have to sit there while the mold solidifies on the cast on you. Yeah.
Could you, what do? They just do the little like...
You're breathing through a straw or whatever.
Basically. Yeah. Oh my God. Again, you're just in. You're in and you're up for it always.
Yeah. As my wife likes to say, you're either in it or you're in the way.
Huh. I like that, actually. I actually love that. That can be applied to many, many things.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, psychos. Francis says, you're in it.
You're either in it or you're in the way.
There it is. There it is. I don't know that we can we could end on a better note than that.
It is the epitome of our show.
Exactly. Yeah.
When are you coming back to the podcast again?
Whenever you'd like me to.
Okay, you know, good.
You know, for you people, I would do anything. So
this is good.
Well,
I'm going
to
use
within. Well, I was about to say within reason, but that I think that went out the window a long time ago.
No, there's it's safe.
One request. I still want to ride in that Triumph of yours if you still have it.
Oh, I still have it. I've had that since I was 21. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I've never seen it since you refurbished it, and I want to ride, please.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then I will take you up on that. I will come and get you in the front of that thing, and we'll drive around LA, and we'll drive around the wonderful San Fernando Valley for a bit.
Perfect. And I think
come over to Hollywood and see me.
Hauling in your Triumph, in your convertible Triumph with you would be pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it was the first car I bought with my first record, like the signing of our first record deal, and so I've kept it ever since.
Come pick me up.
Okay.
Thank you so much for doing this. And
you are very welcome, and it's so wonderful to see you both.
You too. And we're going to bug you to come back because you can't say no to us ever. So I'm just going to try to think of things that we can like ask you to do going forward, and you won't be able to say no to us. So.
No,
and thank you for becoming such a full-fledged, full-throated part of our psych family. We love you incredibly, immensely.
Yeah.
And dear psychos, fear not, you're going to get a bonus episode of this one where we really get into the nuts and bolts of the synopsis coming up.
Yeah, we'll do the synopsis next week, but this needed to be just about you, Kurtzman.
Because, you know, who doesn't love something all about me?
Yeah, yeah. This episode was so good. I told you all, wasn't this like so great. I love it. I'm still smiling ear to ear from speaking with Kurt. Could not stop smiling. And next week, we will do our typical breakdown of the episode. So don't you fret. That synopsis is coming and we'll stay on track. As always, don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at thepsychologistrn and our Twitter at psychologistpod. Plus check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistrn for full video episodes of the pod and ad-free eps.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.